This is Big Mike Mike Logan, and you're listening to the Strong Style Story Podcast. Hello, and welcome to episode 31 of the Strong Style Story Podcast. I am your host, Selector Jeffrey Wessel. You can find me at Strong Style Story, without the E in style, on Twitter. The regular blog is at strongstylestory.tumblr.com, and you are listening to us via Place to Be Nation and the Pro Wrestling Only podcast feed. With me today are my co-host, co-founder, and producer, Chris Damasceno. Chris, what's up, man?
Hey, not too much. 31 episodes. Man, and considering how long we've been doing this now, we're almost 2 years, which is astounding to me.
Yeah, we're almost at 2 years. That's going to be coming up soon. So, yeah, wow. Yeah, our 2 year anniversary is coming up, and of course, that doesn't include, you know, the J Cup special that we did. And that also doesn't include the episodes of Strong Style History that we've done, which, just a brief programming note, we are also doing a Strong Style History as we record today. So look out for that later in the week, because I know that's a pretty popular show, and the powers that be at Place to Be have been kind of wondering where the hell that show's been. So yeah, actually, I thought we said we were going to do one for the month of September, and then the month of September got away from us. So you're going to get two for the month of October, because we're going to do one this week, and we promised that the one following is going to have a special guest of Brett, a.k.a. Bahu, the godhead of all things FMW on the internet. And because that show is going to be talking about Atsushi Onita in New Japan in 1999. But this show that we're doing, we're just going to focus on King of Pro Wrestling 2012, which ended up being kind of a game changer in a few senses of the word. So So stay tuned for that later this week. Right now, we've got some current events to catch up on, starting with, when last we met, it was the day of Destruction in Fukushima, so we now have to talk about Destruction in Hiroshima as well as Destruction in Kobe, which I'm going to start off with. Has anybody ever told New Japan just how kind of ghoulish and tasteless they name these shows, you know, in cities that where, you know, disaster and suffering and destruction actually have happened?
Yeah, but then again, it may seem, for us, we could definitely see that and just kind of go, that just seems to be in bad taste, but it's Japan, but I don't live there, so I don't know exactly what their take on that regard is, so I can't really, I can make an assumption on my end of things, but I can't, like, fully speak up for that particular culture in terms of whether they see it as tasteless or whether it's like, oh, it's just an English word. Okay, whatever. Let's move on.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems a little, maybe just a slightly ghoulish. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a little too sensitive to these sorts of things. But anyway, yeah, I'm glad we're starting with Destruction in Hiroshima, because I think this was my favorite of the three shows, you know, for a few reasons. And we're going to start that off with noting that Rocky Romero was the MVP of that show, because he did quite a lot on Destruction in Hiroshima, starting with, this was the third match on the card, the finale of Roppongi Vice. The dream is over. Maybe we should make the Roppongi theme our theme music this time. Just so
I think that's something I can definitely add onto the edit. So
yeah, right.
let's run with that.
We'll run with that. But yeah, anyway, so yeah, amazingly for a final match, Roppongi Vice got the win. And with Beretta pinning Chase Owens after the last strong zero we'll ever see, but yeah, and it was kind of an okay match. I mean, it wasn't anything to write home about, but I mean, mostly it seemed to just dovetail into Yujiro acting as like kind of a gatekeeper for the heavyweight division against Trent Beretta.
Yep.
Which is great because, you know, Yujiro actually having something to do for the first time in, like, what, 2 years?
Yeah, eons. Other than just being, like, a regular, like, multi-man or just tag guy altogether, yeah. Seeing Yujiro get his singles match out of the ordeal was very, very interesting.
Yeah, that was something worth noting. But then later, so then Rocky jumps on the English commentary, and then following the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Match, in which Funky Future, which I like that name,
yep.
Funky Future, Ryusuke Taniguchi, and Ricochet actually defended against the Suzuki-gun tandem of Yoshinobu Kanemaru and Taichi. That was a good match.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that match. Even Taichi enjoyed in that match.
I agree entirely. It's been a little bit crazy for me over the past few months in the fact that, yeah, Taichi as a human being is still deplorable and he's just a scumbag in ring altogether. But ever since All Japan's anniversary show in which he worked against Aoyaga, I mean, they had a really good match together. It seems like he's been
Yuma Aoyagi.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. But yeah, no, good match between him and that show, and I think they had some history too from the J Cup last year as well. And I guess
that's where that sprung from was from the J Cup debacle. But
gotcha.
I honestly think that Taichi ever since some of his Best of Super Juniors matches were pretty okay too, I thought.
Yeah, he's been holding his own, and him and Kanemaru played a really good foil for Funky Future, so I thought that was enjoyable as well. They did near falls really well into the match, and just it was really well paced. All four guys came in and did what they needed to do for it, and it turned out like a really nice match before we went into intermission, though, as you mentioned, the big news kind of came after the match when Rocky decided to have his own little mic performance and say...
Yeah, and, well, before we do that, I'm just going to note that I honestly thought that Kanemaru and Taichi were going to take this because I thought that they were going to dovetail that into the feud that's been going on between Taichi and Bushi.
Mm-hmm.
In of Los Ingobernables, because stemming from that Taka Taichi show too.
Yeah,
I honestly thought that maybe Los Dos would challenge Kanemaru and Taichi, but yeah, then they threw that in, which I'm also gonna point out. I love the fact that it was won by Omai and Garankle.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a great touch.
Yeah,
and Rocky showing up promising Roppongi 3K.
Yep.
Whomever that will be. Now, let's talk about this for 2 seconds, because there were two going theories from this, and I'm gonna mention the one that I don't like, that I didn't like first.
Yeah, go ahead.
Which was the one theory was that it was gonna be OI4K.
Oh.
Dave and Jake Crist, because this is gonna dovetail into the theory that you mentioned that Switchblade guy is Sammy Callahan because they're all affiliated together. Okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
But OI4K just won the tag titles for whatever the hell TNA is calling themselves this week.
I just call it TNA. It's simpler that way.
Yeah, and they're supposed to. And I mean, and Bound for Glory is supposed to be on the 8th, I think, or around the 8th, which that's the day of King of Pro Wrestling, so I don't think it's them. I don't think it's them. I think it is much more likely that it is returning young lions, Sho Tanaka and Yohei Komatsu.
Yep, nope, that's what I was thinking as well, too, when they mentioned, when Rocky not only mentioned the 3K thing, and Roppongi being the kind of party center that it is, and then remembering to myself, well, they are the Tempura boys in ROH right now, so...
Yeah, they were Raijin and Fujin in CMLL let's not forget that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, not. Yeah. And also, I'm just going to throw that back out there. I think after showing, after the match at Death Before Dishonor that Jay White had, where, you know, he ended up taking bumps into thumbtacks.
Oh, God, I was there for that. And
we're
going to
talk... Yeah, we're going to talk about that here in a few minutes, too. But I'm just going to say, I'm going to go with, I think Jay White is Switchblade guy.
Mm-hmm.
I really think it's much more likely that it is returning Young Lions. And besides which, OI4K was just in DDT, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they're going to be working there. We're going to talk about something regarding DDT as well coming up, and it's not going to be what you think either.
Yeah.
I think it's less likely that it's random indie guys that the New Japan crowd isn't going to know, because that's gone over like a lead balloon lately with that. With the notable exception of War Machine, because, you know, big scary Viking motherfuckers will get over in New Japan.
Uh-huh. And I did just have a quick note before we move forward. Bound for Glory this year is actually mentioned to be November 5th over in Ottawa this year. So,
Well, then that's Power Struggle then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the date of Power Struggle, I think. Well, or close to it.
Around Power Struggle time, it seems.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't think it's not going to be OI4K. If we're wrong, we're wrong. We're the only podcast that will ever admit, you know, that we were wrong about something. So.
No, there's plenty of others out there, I believe. We're just very blatant about it. I don't know.
So, I don't know. But yeah, that's going to be coming up. And then you said it was, yeah, we go into intermission. Before we get into the second half of the show, I'm just going to note, I think I'm like not as sold with Kamigoe being Ibushi's finish at this point.
We're both the same way. I love it as a setup move for the powerbomb or the Phoenix Splash, whatever it is, but I just don't think...
How about the Phoenix Flex? I love that move. Yeah, what happened to Phoenix Flex?
I mean, it is kind of a dangerous move to take if you really think about it, with the way it's set up. But to me, it's like, I get that it's not as physically imposing on Ibushi to use it, but I just think that it's a better setup move than it is as a finisher.
Yeah,
but that's
I'm not.
Personal opinion at this point.
Yeah, no, I'm really not sold on Kamigoe as a finish at this point. I really am not. I mean, sometimes it looks great, but like, yeah, I think he had better finishes, honestly. So continuing, we had the second of the three IWGP heavyweight tag team three-way matches, which, oh God, we're going to be getting a fourth one now. My God. All right. Moving on. War Machine defeating Davey Boy Smith this time. Davey Boy Smith Jr. with Fallout. That was, you know, again, it was what it was. Why do we need multiple of these matches? Why? Why, God, why? I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, I'm not exactly 110% sure on that as of yet either. I know they've been doing this for quite some time, but yeah, it's a little bizarre to me as well, because just a couple of days ago, I was talking to one of my friends. His name's Brian. Known him for a couple of years about it, and he kind of brought up this point to me about the tag division that I thought was interesting, in which he went, hey, it's kind of bizarre how few shits Gedo seems to give about the tag division. Like, the fact that he obviously gets that when he took over, the focus needed to be on the single stars after the disasters of Inokiism during that particular time, but that it's kind of weird seeing a dude that has the Vince McMahon view on tag teams when he made his name as a tag division guy.
Yeah, it's pretty odd, yeah, because, yeah, I mean, Gato is known as, you know, the second half of Giotto and, you know, historically, you know, and, you know, before, you know, he found new life as, you know, the mouthpiece for Kazuchika Okada.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. It's redonkulous, to be honest.
The argument could be made, to be honest, that maybe if you scrap something like, say, the never open weight title or even like the comedy belts at this point and just use it to start forming just teams out of that mid-card portion to put into the tag division, that maybe you'd have something a little bit deeper. But knowing New Japan like we do, to a certain extent, they have their system on how they do things, and that's probably not going to change unless they get like a really, really, I guess, big name tag team of some sort down the road in the future to make that the focus of the division. Yeah, it's a little bit hard to tell sometimes with these things.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it either, especially since, you know, with as many, you know, especially with as many tag matches as they do in New Japan, you think they'd give more of a shit about the actual tag team division. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why we had to keep going back to the well, I mean, on this. I mean, I don't know. All right, moving on. Because we're going to have to talk about this at least one more time during this show. So, moving on. Bushi getting the win on Gato in a 10-man tag, speaking of tags, in Gobernables against Chaos. That was pretty decent, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was fun. You know, it was what it was. You know, Naito, you know, went and attacked Ishii's knee. You know, mm-hmm. Put him in a figure four.
Yep.
But then, more Ingobernable's stuff. The semi-main was Kushida defending the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship against El Desperado. I liked that match.
Yeah, good match.
I really liked that
solid
match.
Solid match.
Very solid, but it was really solid match, and you know, Kushida going back and forth with, you know, between using hoverboard lock and Back to the Future
mm-hmm.
now as a finish. But then afterwards is something that, you know, the internet got a little stupid about, which, you know, here's a shock, the internet getting a little stupid. So afterwards, Will Ospreay arrived and challenged Kushida, so, you know, he could either go 0-5 against Kushida or he could finally beat him. But during this, Hiromu shows up and tries to also challenge, and then Will Ospreay just sucker punches him, cold cocks him.
Yep.
Yeah, it knocks him out. Now, this, of course, led to internet stupidity of the flavor of, oh my god, they're burying Hiromu. He's a comedy act now.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, this was fun. I couldn't take this. Oh, he got one punch by Ospreay. Motherfucker, have you ever been sucker punched?
Yeah. It's just...
There's a reason why it's called Sucker Punch.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. A, it's called Sucker Punch for a reason. B, Ospreay and Hiromu had beef over these last couple of, like, past month and a half at this
point.
That's
what they're talking about, too. Like, this whole feud of, like, yeah, you're a cat. No, this is a stupid comedy feud. What? Yeah, this is such a stupid comedy feud that, like, four different units got involved with.
Yeah. No kidding, right? Just, But I get that the internet is way too used to the Vince McMahon ways of booking, especially the new people who are getting into New Japan, but guys, just calm down. Hiromu's going to be fine. More than likely, whoever comes out of this match, a King of Pearl Wrestling that's coming up between Ospreay and Kushida, Hiromu's coming after them next. And
yeah, that's gonna
you
be.
You guys are gonna feel like you had egg grown on your face. After
yeah, that's gonna. Be, yeah, that's gonna be. Yeah, whatever that is, it's gonna be Wrestle Kingdom. So at this point, I don't see them doing it at Power Struggle, to be honest. But you know, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, come on, guys. I mean, really? Oh, this is. Yeah, maybe you had noticed that. You know, Hiromu was like, you know, maybe a little loopy. Yeah, with his obsessions and things. I mean, yeah. they're burying Hiromu. This is why he got a stuffed cat to be like, you know, the most over thing in pro wrestling over the summer, right? Mm-hmm. Come on,
yeah.
Just get a clue, please. People working themselves into shoots over this stuff, you know. And now that I've used a phrase I swore I was never going to use, let's move on. The main event of Hiroshima was the IWGP Intercontinental title match between Hiroshi Tanahashi defeating Zack Sabre Jr. This was quality.
Mm-hmm.
This was a quality match, too.
I think for me, I still like their first match just slightly more compared to the second, just because the way I kind of saw it was that, hey, Zack got the really big win day one of G1 Climax to set this up. Tana's probably getting it back to prove that he's still, you know, fighting champion, but still gives Sabre a really good main event to work out of. And I think the result to me, and somewhat knowing this, is it kind of, I guess, took me out of it a little bit. But even then, still an excellent match between the two. Zack Sabre Jr.'s wrestling style to me screams perfect. I am a fucking dick, and I'm going to just twist you up into pretzels, then you won't be able to do anything about it, kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I still think that maybe his physique maybe belies it a little bit. So, I mean, it's kind of, you know, there's a lot of selling involved in Zack Sabre Jr. style, but you know, it was still a very good match. I mean, I thought that was probably my favorite encounter of the three so far. Maybe not my favorite Zack Sabre match so far in New Japan. I think that's still reserved for Zack against Juice.
Mm-hmm.
At G1 Special.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that one was just amazing. That one just came from nowhere. I didn't think anything about that match going into it. I was like, wow, you know, but you know, this one had a little buildup. I will say this. It was by far, you know, leaps and bounds above, you know, Tanahashi's first defense of the Intercontinental belt.
Mm-hmm.
Cause yeah, fuck Billy Gunn. And, but yeah, that was, so yeah, I mean, overall I was really happy with Destruction and Hiroshima.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good.
So yeah.
I'd say out of the three shows overall for the Destruction tour, that I thought the Hiroshima one was the best one overall from kind of a start to finish deal.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely the best one on paper going into it too.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So I got nothing bad. I got nothing bad to say about that show besides, you know, the heavyweight tag.
We've touched on that for almost two shows now, Jeff. I think it's time we probably just not spending any more time on it.
It's time to move on a little bit. Although we are going to Destruction in Kobe now, where the third of these matches happened. But before that, Trent Barretta debuted as a heavyweight singles wrestler in New Japan Pro Wrestling and won, beating Yujiro with Dude Buster.
Good stuff.
It was a lot better than I thought it would be.
I think a lot of it is that we rarely see Yujiro doing singles stuff these days that we kind of forget. He's actually pretty decent. He's not like, you know, bad by any means. He's serviceable enough to play the role that he needs to play.
Yeah, it's just I mean, he's been doing, you know, but between the pimp shtick and, you know, the fact that he's just been, you know, mainly, you know, beating young lions with pimp juice in tag matches for a while.
Mm-hmm, true.
Yeah, but you know, that was a decent outing. Moving on. The third of the three of the trilogy IWGP heavyweight tag team title matches. This time the Killer Elite Squad actually overcame War Machine.
So
yeah, I know. I feel ya. So the Killer Elite Squad getting their first IWGP heavyweight tag team title reign for the first time in almost 4 years. Which is amazing to think about, but you gotta consider, you know, there was, you know, the sheer dominance for a while by Guns and Gallows during that time, and then also, you know, they were gone for 2 years in Noah.
Oh yeah,
with Suzuki Gun.
Oh, yeah, right. That was an actual thing, the Noah trip, right?
Yeah, and then, of course, earlier this year, Lance Archer, messed his spine up, so he was out for a good few months.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so now that they're coming together, maybe it's a little overdue for them to have these styles. And by the way, I don't mind the Killer Elite Squad one bit. I don't mind them as a team, but it's just, yeah, the format of the matches were just, yeah, come on, man. Just just stop it. Stop it now. So
yeah. It's basically more, it's not even more so much that, oh, they won. It's more like, I wanted War Machine to still keep the titles on a personal preference. But
oh, yeah, yeah. But I mean, they're popular and over, and we probably haven't seen the last of them, unless the rumors are true. But, how often are the rumors true? So.
Point taken.
But following that, Tanahashi and Elgin, Tana Elgin teaming again for the first time in a while. It seems like forever since we've actually had a Tana Elgin match.
Yeah, definitely so. But it's a good thing. Fun stuff came out of it.
They beat Kota Ibushi and David Finlay. It's all build up for the forthcoming IWGP Intercontinental title match, which won't be happening at King of Pro Wrestling, it turns out, but we'll get to that. Following that, Ishii down Bushi in another setup match for King of Pro Wrestling against between the Ingobernables and Chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Will Ospreay got the Duke over Hiromu in the semi-main tag match. Final build-up between Okada and Evil. So, that to me, despite the fact, besides the fact that Kushida was, not in the country at the time, but, at the time that happened, but it just tells me that Ospreay and Hiromu is kind of the focus feud in the juniors right now. And it just seems like either way, Kushida's kind of just like, the catalyzing agent here.
Yeah, but Kushida's the guy with the title, so it's a matter of two guys that are within that top portion of the junior division trying to chase it, which I'm okay with them doing, like a non-title feud for the juniors. We haven't seen that in a little while as well, so it's nice that they're building that up too.
I would definitely agree with that. The main event of...
Before we move into that really quick, I do want to say there was a nice touch to the finish of that tag match and the fact that Ospreay was about to get nailed with Evil, but Okada got him pretty much out of the way, and so I think basically just took Evil out of position and just brought him into the Rainmaker right there and then had Ospreay pretty much followed up on Hiromu as well. It was a nice little bit of teamwork and kind of Okada getting a little bit of payback for being basically dropped the past, three or four shows in a row by Evil?
Yeah. I mean, Evil's been getting the better of Okada as build up to this feud, so, to this match coming up. So, yeah, no, that's a good thing to bring up. However, here we are, the main event of the entire Destruction Cycle. Kenny Omega, who is out for most of the Destruction Cycle, with a meniscus, what would you term it as, like a grade 1 meniscus tear or something?
Yeah, I believe so. Mm-hmm.
Came back and wrestled a pretty damn good match against Juice Robinson, winning with an avalanche-style one-winged angel, too.
Which looked gnarly, by the way.
It looked very gnarly. But to retain the IWGP United States Heavyweight title, the first defense of this belt in this belt's history. Now I know that the Omega stands out there always want to say that Kenny was, the only reason why a match was good and all this, as with other times with when you've said this about Kazuchika Okada and when you've said this about Naito, that Kenny carried them to a great match. If you don't think Juice Robinson delivered in this match, you are ridiculous. And that's all I'm going to say.
We've all been on the boat this year that Juice Robinson has been breaking out with his performances. The G1 is a clear indication of that, and in his first big,
I thought the G1 special was the first real indicator when he, you know, that match against Zack Sabre. And let's face it, he had pretty decent matches against Hirooki Goto and Tetsuya Naito in title challenges too. Yeah,
he did. Mm-hmm. No, that's what I'm saying. Like overall, this year has been just a big year for Juice establishing himself as a guy that may not necessarily win the big one anytime soon, but that can be not only a guy that puts up a good fight for it, but it can be like that baby face that works from behind, coming back, getting those big close moments where you think maybe he has it, maybe he's won it. Oh, not they kicked out of like 2.5, but still. No, I'm really excited because Juice, I think in my opinion, Juice brought some really good stuff out of Kenny as well, just as much as Kenny brought good stuff out of Juice with the way they worked together. It was really fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, I mean, when you have that high a quality match, you need to have, you know, both guys be on point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just like we said with, you know, the 6-star match at Wrestle Kingdom and or the one at, you know, Dominion between Okada and Omega and you know, Omega against Naito in the G1 final. I mean, both guys have to be on point. To deliver that sort of quality, and mm-hmm. and they were in this match for sure. Kenny Omega did you know did his job, and so did Juice Robinson by far. And I think it's just amazing how far he has come from the CJ Parker days in NXT.
Yeah, definitely. You know? And even as CJ Parker, like the amount of respect that he was getting, and like Brazil was getting from guys like Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens, and some of those guys that were stepping in, and how good of a worker he was too should have been some indication, to be honest, as it was, as to at least how much potential he's had. But it's good to see him realize that now.
Yeah, and it's good to see him realize that in New Japan, too. You know, mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, he's just been doing the indies the whole time and getting lucky. No, I mean he's basically treated as a, you know, a senior young lion, but a young lion nevertheless.
Yep.
When he came in, and you know now, you know he's headlining shows now.
Yep, definitely.
So you know, so overall, I think that this show again, Hiroshima, I think was the best one on paper. Overall, all three shows had some good moments. All three shows had some real duffer moments too.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, especially the one from Fukushima. I really dislike that Never match, even though I love Minoru Suzuki, I love Big Mike, but I thought that match was just garbage. I did not enjoy that match.
We all talked about how the whole Suzuki-gun gimmick at this point. Yeah, let's not even touch that. We've already discussed this. We're going to be here a while if we touch it again.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
But, well, okay, let's move on. So post-show, both War Machine and Gorillas of Destiny challenge for a rematch against, you know, the Killer Elite Squad. So that's going to be coming up, as we all know. And then Yoshihashi challenged Kenny Omega for the IWGP US title. Why? God alone knows. But here we are, and we all know where that match is happening now. So we'll talk about that later on in this program as well. So
awesome.
So that's about it for the Destruction Cycle.
Yep.
But so, like, you know, a day or two later, they announced the full card for King of Pro Wrestling, which happens on the 9th of October this year. Traditionally, it's held on the second Monday of the month because it is, you know, Health and Sport Day in Japan on the second Monday of every October. So that's when they hold it. This one is pretty stacked with title matches too. But before we get into that in toto, I want to point out that there is a show before then. It's the second year that they've been running this show, the New Japan Road, actually second or third year, Ganbaru Uenuma 2017. This show features a match that I really want to see, but unfortunately probably is not going to make tape.
Yeah, which is
Kushida against Kawada. Hiroi Kawada.
Yeah.
I want to see this match really badly, and I don't know if this will make tape. I mean, it's not listed on NJPW World. Now, that doesn't mean it could possibly make, Samurai TV, either, you know, New Japan on Samurai TV, or even, you know, the Battlemen, mm-hmm. the Battlemen News show that they do on there. That there's a this remote possibility of that, but god damn, why did they do it on this show where we can't see it? You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want to see Kushida against Hiroyu Kawato. God damn it.
It's a very interesting match. They decided to throw at us at the show just 2 days before King of Pro Wrestling, and I'm like, well, I know you're advertising it, and I know it's going to be an actual thing that happens. It'd be nice to see it on tape at some point.
Yeah, it would be, and you know, I really, really wish that New Japan would do more of these sort of matches, you know, with, you know, it may, like, seemingly seem like, you know, random singles matches.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, and I know that they have a huge roster and all that, and maybe that's part of the problem why we get all these goddamn, you know, tag matches, is because they have such a bulging roster that they, you know, everybody has to do something. But I mean, I like random singles matches like this too. I mean, I thought this is, you know, primarily what pro wrestling should be, is singles matches, and yet here we are. We get a lot of tag matches. New Japan.
Different formulas, different booking styles. We'll deal with it. But yeah, that should be interesting to see how many minutes they get, and kind of just how much offense Kawato ends up getting in the match too. That's going to be the big question as well.
Well, yeah, which is, you know, again, another reason why I wish we could see this match. But as far as I know, this match isn't making tape unless Samurai TV is going to step in. And do something with it. So who can tell? Anyway, moving on. King of Pro Wrestling happening at Tokyo Ryogoku Kokugikan. Debatably the third biggest show of the New Japan calendar. Mm-hmm. Debatably. Behind, maybe it's tied with, you know, the April show, you know, which has now been renamed Sakura Genesis. Yeah. If it could be tied with that. But it's definitely behind, you know, Wrestle Kingdom and the G1 final, you know. But so we'll go down the card. There's a lot of, you know, there's some random tag matches in here too, but not as many as you'd think. The opening match will be Bad Luck Fale, Yujiro Takahashi, and Leo Tonga against Sanada, Bushi, and Hiromu.
Yep.
I guess I unfortunately see one of the juniors taking the fall on this. Oh, well, actually, maybe Leo, because he's... No,
Leo's probably taking the fall. He's basically the Bullet Club young boy at this point.
Yeah, he kind of is, and yeah, so that'll be Sonata. Yeah, Sonata, you know, locking, you know, tabbing him out to Skull End or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Feasible.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Hiroki Goto and Toriano against Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. This seems like a waste of three of the talents in this match.
That's no way of speaking of Hiroki Goto.
But following that, oh, go ahead.
Oh no, I'm just saying in general, it's kind of, it'll be at least funny in the way that Minoru just probably tries to kill Toriano as he usually tries to, which...
And usually fails.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Tom and Jerry of New Japan Pro Wrestling, so...
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
Yep.
IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Champions Championship, Funky Future against the to-be-announced Roppongi 3K.
Let it be said, I cannot wait to see what Rocky did for their theme song, because you know that's...
You know he's dropping some jams on this one.
Exactly.
You know that he is. So, and then the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team 3-Way Tornado Elimination Match. So, just, you know, variations on a theme here. So, please let this be the last of the three-way matches, please, God, because I'm done with this at this point. Following that, Yoshihashi, Trent Beretta, and Jado take on Kenny Omega, Cody Rhodes, and Marty Scurll. You know Jado's taking the fall on this one.
It's the being the elite team finally coming together in some sort of variation. So yeah, Jado's taking a fall.
Yep. Hiroshi Tanahashi and Togi Makabe go up against Kota Ibushi and Juice Robinson. They got to give Ibushi the win here. If they're going to build this challenge up, they got to.
I think it's setting it up as Ibushi probably taking the fall, or winning the fall, rather, in this case.
Yeah, winning it. So, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title, Kushida defending against Will Ospreay. So, Ospreay can go 0-5 against Kushida in this, or this is finally when he wins it.
Yeah.
And the fact that on the upcoming ROH shows, Kushida is not advertised as IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. Maybe a hint. Who knows? Because usually they list them at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if it's true at the time, they'll list that. So, but who can tell? I mean, to be fair, Will Ospreay isn't listed as that either for those shows. So
yeah, in
fairness, so the semi-main will be the only briefcase match we're going to get this year. IWGP Heavyweight Wrestle Kingdom Challenge rights. Tetsuya Naito defending the briefcase against Tomohiro Ishii. I mean, they've been building this up all year.
Yeah.
With Naito having not beaten Ishii all year.
Pretty much. Ishii's basically, he is the white whale right now.
Yeah. I really don't think they're going to fuck this up, though. And, you know, I really don't think they're going to fuck up a sure thing. For Wrestle Kingdom, so Naito's going to retain.
Uh-huh.
Well, so, 1 year, though, somebody's going to have to win the damn briefcase.
And I think this will be the year in which they decide, oh, Goto can win the G1, but he loses the briefcase, which sounds like the most Goto thing that could possibly happen.
Yeah, that'll probably be next year. and then, finally, the final IWGP Heavyweight title match of 2017, Kazuchika Okada will defend against Evil. If Okada wins, which I'm pretty damn sure he's going to, because again, for the same reason, they're not going to fuck up Wrestle Kingdom at this point. But if Okada wins, he will for sure surpass Shinya Hashimoto's 489 days as champion.
Which,
going into Wrestle Kingdom, which that is massive.
Mm-hmm. It's funny to say it. Seldom times that we see history kind of happen right before our eyes, but yeah, we're on the verge of actually being able to say that
we were there for it. Yeah, I mean, the last time recently we had a historical thing happen, it didn't happen because, you know, when Kento Miyahara lost the Triple Crown to
Shishikawa.
Yeah, because he was on par to, I mean, if he would have beaten Ishikawa, he would have tied Kawada.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one he would have surpassed, or he was already tied and then would have surpassed if he'd beaten Ishikawa. I can't remember which one off the top of my head, but either way, I mean, it was that combination.
Yeah, I mean, so, young aces in Japan doing their stuff. Got to be happy for them.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, even though it looks like, unfortunately, Katsuhiko Nakajima maybe wasn't the young ace we were all hoping he would be.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he was having good matches, but yeah, Noah just is not where they ought to be right now. But, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, with you know, Okada being Okada, even though somehow Okada's law has been transitioned out of that that young ace discussion. I don't know why, but
I think a lot of it is more so because we know at this point we've taken really good notice of Okada on the world stage. While when you consider all the other companies within Japan and their young aces kind of coming up, is that yeah, they're doing great things, but they don't get as much notice because of the fact that, to be honest, New Japan is that big corporate company right now in that country that has the financial backing as well as the talent to back it up,
which is true. But I mean, it doesn't take away anything away from the talent and seemingly the drawing power of, say, a Kento Miyahara or a Konosuke Takeshita in DDT. Mm-hmm. Dragon Gate don't have a young ace. I don't think they have a young ace right now because they're still riding on Yamato, even though he just dropped the Dream Gate to to a not young ace, Masaaki Mochizuki.
Yep.
You know, getting his last run as Dream Gate champion. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, certainly they have, like, a lot of, you know, good prospects right now, especially my personal favorite, Ben K.
Uh-huh.
Over there. There's Hyo Watanabe and then Yamamura, who just actually fucked himself up today, knocked himself out during a match, I think. I don't want to speculate, but he looked like he knocked himself out doing a drop kick off the turnbuckle. And he, you know, just kind of hit his head. I mean, they had to stretch him out today, but anyway, hope he recovers well. So because he's looking pretty good, but yeah, I mean, Okada is should he win? Yes, he will most definitely be the longest reigning IWGP champion in history, which is just staggering to think about.
Yeah, it's astounding to me in a way too, because of the fact that for the longest time we kept talking about, oh, Kenny's got to challenge him. They've got to have that final match to settle the 1-1-1 kind of score that they have between each other. But with the rate that they're going at, is that even going to happen this year?
Are they going to
wait on that until next year?
When's it going to happen?
Yeah,
exactly. And under what circumstances? Because they're both champions now.
Mm-hmm.
So no, if it's gonna happen, it's not gonna be this year. At this stage of the game,
mm-hmm.
which was shocking to me because I really thought that they were gonna do Okada and Evil during Destruction,
mm-hmm.
and then do Okada Omega 4 at King of Pro Wrestling just to settle it all. But nope, they didn't, and they decided to go in a different direction. Which okay, fine, that's cool.
Yeah,
went a different direction,
Yeah, and that's what I thought too. I thought it was one of those things where Kenny would get the King of Pro Wrestling shot, and then maybe you'd do Eve, let's say, Power Struggle or something. But
No, because King of Pro Wrestling is traditionally now the last time that they do the IWGP heavyweight match before Wrestle Kingdom.
So it would have had open destruction,
yeah, mm-hmm. which it obviously didn't happen, so. So yeah, I mean, they're going in a different direction now, which, that's fine because they've done Okada Omega as the direction, ever since, G1 ended last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm fine. We're now into the phase of ramping up to Wrestle Kingdom, and it's now, Okada Naito is the focus. So that's cool. I'm cool with it. It's all good. We're all good. So that is going to be King of Pro Wrestling on the 9th, on October the 12th. Now, here's something we've been kind of looking forward to. The Young Lions Cup is coming back, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
Starting at Lionsgate Project 8. The Young Lions Cup is back. The last time that was done was in 2005, where it was won by who won it, Chris?
You remind me.
Because you don't obviously read the blog. It was run by Hiroki Goto.
Goodness.
Defeating Hiroyuki Ito. Yeah, I don't remember him very much either. But Goto defeating Hiroyuki Ito in the finals in 2005, so this will be the first time in 12 years that they're running this tournament. It's now been renamed to the Kotetsu Yamamoto Memorial 11th Young Lions Cup in remembrance of the late of the late wrestler, referee, commentator, and dojo trainer.
Nice.
who died in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So I swear I think Nagata books these shows.
Oh yeah,
he's been pushing for this.
Justice Dad, best dad.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been pushing for this. So yeah, we're gonna get. It's gonna be in a league format, so it's gonna be. I'm guessing happening over Lionsgate shows, or maybe even forthcoming tours too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it seems to be with them starting it at Lionsgate Project 8, which I'm really really excited about the Robin format between it and just.
Yeah, so the participants are the current six active Young Lions, Hiroi Kawato, Tomoyuki Oka, Big Man Katsuya Kitamura, Shota Umino, Tetsuhiro Yagi, and the latest one, Ren Narita. I did hear at some point that Hinare is supposed to be back in October. Or I guess this is October, so coming soon he should be back, but I don't think he's going to be ready for this.
Yeah, I don't think he's in time for the... tournament, which is unfortunate because he would have been a decent addition to it as well.
And I still don't know what's up with Teraki Kanemitsu either. I've not heard a damn thing about him.
Yeah, well, sooner or later, hopefully we'll hear some stuff. Yeah. But
so anyway, so next Lionsgate show, which is on the 12th from Tokyo Shinjuku Face, Hiroi Kawato will take on Ren Narita. In the first round match, Katsuya Kitamura against Tetsuhiro Yagi. Unfortunately, I think Yagi's getting washed in this. And then Tomoyuki Oka against Shota Umino. Do we want to make any early predictions as to who wins the Young Lions Cup?
Kitamura.
You're going Kitamura?
Big boy Kitamura is taking this and looking real jacked up in the process. Sorry, I had to get the Steve Cash reference in.
It probably is the case, but I'm really hoping actually Kawato does it because I think he deserves it because especially after I was the one that said I thought he was going to wash out and boy did he prove me wrong this year, since Kanemitsu went out.
Yeah, I think Kawato's a good alternative choice if they decide not to go with Kitamura. I just think the biggest thing for me with Kitamura is the fact that his age. Obviously plays a factor in the things and the fact that the office and of course good friend of the show Takagi Kidani has been fairly big on I think even during interviews they've been mentioned that they would like to see him in G1 next year, so this would be a proper platform to kind of elevate him towards.
Yeah, I understand that he's of age, but remember the last time that they elevated a young lion way before he was ready for it. It worked out in the end, but let's me forget, the year two of Shinsuke Nakamura, when they pushed him way before he was ready,
that's a fair point, but it's also was different management at the time too. So
there was, yeah, I agree. It doesn't mean it can't happen again. So, to round out the rest of Lionsgate, Some returning indie guys here. Manabu Nakanishi takes on Kotaro Yoshino from K-Dojo. Actually, he's not a return. This will be the first time he's been at the Lionsgate shows. Tenkoji, Tenzan and Kojima will take on a Lionsgate all-star at this point. Yuma Aoyagi of All Japan and Go Asakawa of K-Dojo. I love Go Asakawa's theme music. I just want to point that out. I love his theme music. And then the main event will be, this one's a shocker. Yuji Nagata will take on the returning Daisuke Kanehira from Pro Wrestling Heat Up.
Interesting.
we're going full indie sleaze here. With it's cool.
It's fine with me.
I'm cool with, who knew that Nagata was like into indie sleaze? Promotions. Who knew?
Justice Dad is best dad.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, he really is he really is turning out to be the best dad of them all.
See?
With his booking here. Yes. All right. So that's it for New Japan for right now. So we're gonna turn this over to Chris DeMasino for a few minutes because he went to Vegas to go see Minoru Suzuki and get choked out by him. and he failed miserably.
So, yeah, yep. There is some stories behind that.
Well,
so.
All right. Well, I give it over to you.
Thank you. So, as a last one decision, since I live in Denver and tickets between Denver to Las Vegas flight-wise are relatively cheap, I ended up making the decision to just go last Friday as of this recording to Las Vegas for the day just to go see Death Before Dishonor. Not only as a way of seeing Minoru Suzuki, but then also seeing Kushida, seeing Jay White, seeing the Tempura Boys as well. So just kind of checking up on a couple of the New Japan guys in the process. Overall, for the one day that I was there, it was fairly fun little experience altogether. Tickets weren't badly priced. I actually won money at the casino that I was able to kind of make it as an excuse to actually go to the meet and greet, not only for Minoru, but also for Kushida as well.
I just want to point out, I just want to make it a matter of public record. I'm the one who told you to walk away. I just want to make it known that you texted me, "Hey, I'm up $80. Okay, great. Oh, wow, now I'm up $300. Walk away, hey, Christopher, right now.
Hey, and the thing is, I was planning on it regardless, because of the fact of the matter is, when you kind of get up like this and you decide, oh, maybe one or two more and I can win more, no, that's how you lose. It's kind of how you go back to zero.
Oh, yeah, that's totally how you lose. So was that just was that just on the slots, or?
Yeah, just on slots.
See, I had fun playing roulette. I mean, I didn't win shit, but I mean, when I went to Vegas, I actually enjoyed roulette. So I don't know why. It's the one that has like the least skill involved, but you know, I just like it. Yeah. You know.
If I had a little more time, I probably would have done roulette and probably tried some blackjack as well. But that can be saved for another trip at another time. But the whole thing was with the meet and greets time. Obviously, the way they had us do it is that we bought the tickets for it. We'd get like a picture signed as well as a picture with the people that we were respectively meeting. So I went into Minoru's line first, and that was the busiest line of the bunch, obviously, because the guy was wrestling for the first time in 25 years in U.S. soil, so people were curious to actually see him. So eventually my turn comes up to go up and do it. I'm just like, "Hello, how's it going, etc." Minoru just signs the picture first, whatever the case. Then he's getting ready to put like the NEVER title on my shoulder and stuff, and I'm just like, "Hey, so just a request, if possible. Is there any way you could put me in the sleeper?" He kind of just didn't seem to understand it for a moment, because the ring crew guy that was taking a picture for us kind of went, "Oh yeah, that'd be a good idea," and kind of made the motion for like the sleeper hold, and then the Minoru just like, without missing a beat, just looked at me just like, "No, you die." And I'm just like, like, okay, normal picture it is then. And that's the story of how I met Minoru Suzuki, and how that tweet apparently just went fucking viral. My God.
I was kind of disappointed you didn't ask him anything One Piece related, considering how much of an anime fan you are.
Didn't really have time for it, to be honest. Otherwise, I would have. but I mean, that's the big story. But if anything, the other thing that happens that afterwards, I went into Kushida's line, got the picture with him and stuff, which was pretty cool. But the cool thing about it is that Kushida recognized the Kishin Liger shirt right off the bat, which was pretty neat.
Yeah, because I think Kushida has a thing for like bootleg shirts, because he liked the Kishin Liger shirt that you had, and then also, you know, he posted JB's Shibata shirt on the Instagram, which JB was like, "Well, I'll be expecting that cease and desist." I don't think that ever happened.
And actually, guys, I'm
just going to plug JB. His clothing line, I think, is debuting. And I think they're debuting with a cap. It's called Hardway underscore LTD on Twitter. You might want to follow this, because he's debuting, I think, with a baseball cap with the old wing logo.
Yep.
Yeah, Wrestling International New Generations. Get your death match on, folks. So, All right, back to it. So, the show itself, you were in attendance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Fairly enjoyable in some of the spots. Jay White definitely took a beating during that street fight with Punishment Martinez. Took some gnarly spots, including the chokeslam into the Thumbtacks, of course, that was something else. The Tempura Boys were in the pre-show match, which was fairly fun all around.
Who were they? Because they didn't make TV.
It was Rhett Titus and Will Ferrara, I want to say.
Oh, so Rhett Titus is still employed by Ring of Honor.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. They were working as a functional tag team or something. So
yeah. Well, see, I just want to point out that I actually did watch the show with Dion and Bunches at Bunches' new pad. So I gotta say for myself now, I already made the big schlemiel about how I'm no longer gonna be supporting or watching Ring of Honor programming after, you know, the shows in Pittsburgh and Columbus. I just want to point out that, I mean, Ring of Honor honestly usually do good pay-per-views. This show on TV, at least, I mean, I'm sure in person it was a lot more fun. On TV, a lot of this just did not go over well.
That's what I kept hearing as well, too, in terms of it. And I think for me specifically, for parts of the show, I'm just kind of like, well, okay, stuff is happening. Seeing Kushida... again, I can't say enough good things about how good of a worker Kushida is, because he made Kenny King actually look entertaining for a whole match.
Yeah, I mean, and there was just so the booking on some of these things, like I could not give a single fuck about the issues between Jay Briscoe and Bubba Ray Dudley. I don't give a fuck, you know. And yet that became like a focus of the entire show, you know.
Yep.
But I do want to ask, though, how visible were the belt whip marks on Silas Young?
Incredibly visible.
I mean, and you said you were like in the
top, and no, I mean, there was really no bad seat at Sam's. Like, regardless of where you at, you could see things really well. And yeah, those welts were just visible. Right off the bat.
I mean, my God, I was like cringing when I saw that on come across on TV. I guess they're pushing Silas Young because he's now won feuds over Dalton Castle and Jay Lethal.
Yeah, it's insanity. Just
they just announced a match before we came on the air too that I'll mention. Well, came on the air, haha. Yeah, we're not real. Yeah, anyway, you can tell my old radio training is still coming
but,
to bear here.
But needless to say, too, in terms of matches there, obviously, the main event between Minoru and Cody was short, but I think it did its job, especially considering the fact that, given that Dalton's injured right now, that was probably the match that they wanted to have in Vegas initially. Before having to go with Minoru as kind of the alternative to it, it still turned out well. And I mean, Minoru was still like 49, 50 years old at this point. So
he's 48.
Yeah.
But he can only do so much
at that point.
Yeah. But his shit got over real well and people were yelling Kaze Ninare and so that's good.
That
gives me some hope. Yeah. It gives me some hope. I will say that, the Young Bucks against Motor City Machine Guns, that was a pretty damn good match.
Yeah, I thought it was my favorite match of the night, to be honest.
Yeah. With that show, even like a lot of the matches that were even the really good ones, it just usually had like the wrong people winning, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh, God, you know?
I think, and I kind of told you this, it's like, I understand why Kenny King had to win the TV title, but I don't necessarily think it was the best decision.
No, I mean, Kenny King's going to get exposed pretty badly. But, I mean, he's going to get exposed pretty badly. I mean,
that's a Ring of Honor problem to have, though, if any. That's the nice thing about it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, I'm glad that Saban and Shelley finally won the ROH tag belt, so I'm glad that happened.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting that this was their first ROH tag title, when considering the amount of tag titles they've won pretty much all across the planet at this point.
Yeah, including the IWGP Junior belts at one point. So yeah, but it's great. I mean, I don't mind. I think that Jay White had to beat had to lose a Punisher Martinez because, you know, he's coming back soon. So,
And speaking of which, too, just a little quick thing on the aftermath as well, is because afterwards I kind of just roamed around Sam's for a little bit and then decided to go grab food, which meant Vegas, I realized they have In-N-Outs as well. So I ended up taking that trip.
Oh, yeah.
And as I was waiting for my Uber to get me there, actually saw Jay, Sho, Yohei, and Cheeseburger hanging out waiting for their Uber and stuff. So I kind of just walked up real quick and said, hey, good show, ball around today, guys. And they're like, yeah, thanks.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah, the thing about it is that I was thinking about asking for pictures, but then I'm like, it's after the show. They're probably tired, and they're probably going out to eat the same way that I am, and I'm just not going to bother them for it. And their Uber showed up like two minutes after.
Yeah, don't bug people after the shows. When Lawrence and I bumped into Gato, I mean, we just kind of said hi because we were kind of like, you know, A, trying to get lunch from the taco truck, from the Long Beach taco truck, and B, we had to like hurry because we realized it was like we had an hour before the show started. Because we were leaving that aquarium, so, and then, oh, hey, there's Gato, so, hey, you know.
That's basically the way I went about it as well, too, so. So. But yeah, no, it was a nice little thing to see those guys hanging out together, and like, they really are good friends, given their Young Lion status and all, so that's nice. Yes,
exactly, and Cheeseburger needs to come back to New Japan. He is so over in New Japan, it's not even funny.
I just want Cheeseburger and Liger to honestly win the junior heavyweight tag titles at some point. That'd be great.
I think it's possible. Hell, I mean, you know. Although, I don't know. I mean, you know, with Cheeseburger being, you know, Team 2000 now and all, who knows how that alliance is going to go.
True.
While we're on that ROH tip, okay, so, like, I've already said that I was going to, I'm dropping ROH entirely because of political reasons, following, you know, the shows in Pittsburgh and Columbus and how kind of, you know, fucked off I was that they waited 2 weeks to announce the Chicago show and all that. But it was like, we were, my honey and I were discussing, maybe we'll ditch the Columbus show because we had to buy 4 tickets because we were going to drive from Pittsburgh to Columbus and then drive back to Indy that night. So in hell, I have like a hotel in Columbus. So I just bought two more tickets. So, you know, we're going to bring, you know, my son and daughter in with us and, you know, they can experience a pro wrestling show for the first time. And then I was thinking about it and it was like, you know, I don't know, because I think we're going to go to, because I'm not going to Chicago. I am straight up not going to Chicago. I'm going to go to Alton to go see Glory Pro because not just because I already said I was going to because the Lucha Brothers are there, but friend of me and Dion, quote unquote, Shigehiro Irie from DDT is currently back on excursion in the Midwest. So I'm going to go. I want to go see Shigehiro too. Again, yes. See my dude Shigehiro. But then Friday night, as I'm going to bed, I see the announcement that not only Minoru Suzuki, but Toru fucking Yano are going to be at these shows. I'm like, oh, man. So, brother, I'm going to be doing 3 towns across 4 states in one weekend. I'm making towns, brother. I'm going to be doing Pittsburgh, Columbus, and Alton all in one day, and then, you know, with a rest in Indy in between.
Hey, you do what you got to do.
And unfortunately, Alton may be solo. I may be by myself. That's an 8-hour drive by myself. And, you know, as we've talked about before, the setup in Glory Pro is remarkably similar to PWG in that they have, you know, the bar upstairs, you can get like a pretty decent $6 pizza.
Nice.
It's a pretty decent $6 Knights of Columbus Hall pizza, as well as you can drink a whole, you know, you can drink beer by the pitcher.
That is pretty neat.
So yeah, this may be an experience.
So they hold their shows in Alton basically every time, the same building there?
No, they did. The last time I went to Glory Pro was the one that had Mauro Fuji and Cody Rhodes at it, and that was in Belleville, Illinois, which, okay. I gotta be frank, I did not like that venue at all, because, number one, it ruined kind of some of the intimacy of the show.
Was that the one in which they had sitting issues as well, too?
They had a lot of there were seating issues like you wouldn't believe, and there were some really questionable people at that show, too. Unlike in Alton, where it was, okay, you get one or two a-holes, but, I mean, for the most part, it's, you know, real family-friendly and all that. There were some really questionable people. Although, I will say, across the road from the venue in Belleville, I will say that there's a really good barbecue place there. I had their brisket.
Because it's almost one of those things of, like, one day, like, if I, just in terms of it, I'm like, it'd be interesting, because I'm looking at it from my side of things, I'm like, it's a 12-hour drive, which, hey, could be a struggle, but one of these days, just to go see Elgin's promotion would be pretty cool, because I've been hearing really good things about him as well overall, so...
Brother, if you want to fly into Indy for a show, I'll put you up for the night, and then...
Fair enough.
We'll drive, maybe, and we will go to Glory Pro, although I will say... That may have to wait till next year, because I think this show is going to be my final.
Yeah, no, that's show what I'm thinking.
You're doing
All Star Weekend.
Yep. What is that?
That's going to be on the 20th and the 21st
of this month.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. See, I think those. Yeah, I think Glory Pro is going to be my final show of the year.
That's fair.
I'm traveling for. So.
Yeah, because I believe these should be my final wrestling shows of the year as well, and then I got to basically save up for MacFest at the beginning of January. So
yeah, and I got things to do too, So anyway, but yeah, so now they've they added Minoru Suzuki and Toriano to these shows, so that suddenly raised these shows estimation in my view.
Yeah,
because mm-hmm. I was like. Because, I mean, when I was talking about it, I was like, it's Hiromu, yeah, cool, Kushida's great, okay, Yoshihashi, yeah, whatever. And then it's like, the Killer Elite Squad, and then that was it. I was like, I just don't care, but now, they've announced, and Will Ospreay is going to be there too, which that's not really a surprise, because he's been working Ring of Honor, off and on. Mm-hmm. And, but, so, anyway, I've only seen three matches announced so far. Right before we started the show, they announced Silas Young against Minoru Suzuki solo, a singles match in Pittsburgh. So I'm really happy about that, because I can experience doing that live now.
Yeah,
you
can experience Minoru in person. I think honestly, with the way Silas wrestles and the way he kind of just carries himself, it's one of those situations where. He'll be a really good match between the two, just on the matter of like two physically tough guys.
I seem to recall him having a really good match with Shibata, Kazuyori Shibata, so mm-hmm. in Ring of Honor. So that's cool. So that's happening in Buffalo on the 12th of October. The only match that I've seen announced so far, they could have announced more since we've been talking. The Kingdom will go up against the Elite. Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, so the Kingdom, Matt Taven, Vinnie Marcellia, and TK O'Ryan. So, that'll be interesting. And then the main event in Columbus will be Cody Rhodes against Kushida for the ROH title.
Yeah, which is...
So, I mean, they're not squandering that, these shows, I guess. I mean, so...
Yeah. They're trying to make the best of their situation with the... trying to bring as much talent as they can into those shows, which is pretty cool. So,
yeah, but again, this will be. And like I said, I'm not going to be at the Chicago show, even though, yes, it's an IWGP US title match between Kenny Omega and Yoshihashi will be the main event of that. But I'm not going to that show. So
look, thankfully they are at least doing that at the ROH show rather than using one of the New Japan shows for it. So,
and which is cool. And then also I just want to make a quick note. Global Wars UK is coming up November 9th and 10th in Rev Pro. Minoru Suzuki's on that. They've only announced one or two matches for that too, but one of the matches announced on night one will be Tomohiro Ishii against Keith Lee.
Nice.
So that's going to be a hoss fight.
Yep, my chest hurts just thinking about it. But then again, that's almost every Keith Lee match for me. Look, you have not lived until you've seen those chops in person. Trust me.
Yeah, I would love that. I saw Keith Lee in, I saw Keith Lee in Ring of Honor in Indianapolis. What was it? It was a couple of years ago. Yeah, it was last year. It was last year I saw him. Yeah, back when he was still in Ring of Honor. So, yeah. So that were a thing. So, so that's for, what am I trying to say here? So that's that for the New Japan goings on for right now. If we talk about some odds and ends, do we want to talk about Yoshitatsu in All Japan or not really?
Nah.
And I'm just saying that just by virtue of the fact that I haven't seen.
Neither have I, so I can't really say anything. Although I've been hearing on Twitterland that apparently he's had some pretty decent matches there, and they're starting the whole narrative of, maybe we were too harsh on Yoshitatsu, and I'm just like, no, not at all.
I honestly think he probably would be better served in All Japan at this point, honestly. I mean, and he,
being on loan to them, basically.
Yeah, I mean, he did. He did advance. He beat Yoshihiro Tajiri in the first round of that Oto tournament, even missing Tajiri, you know, getting him back, and then obviously fell to
Kento Miyahara,
the Triple Crown champion. And Yoshitatsu did say he wanted to have another match with him, which I doubt it will be a Triple Crown match, but, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I've also said I think Goto would be better served at this point elsewhere, maybe Big Japan.
Goto and Big Japan,
be
interesting.
Honestly, why not, but. I think Goto against Hideki Suzuki or Yuji Okabashi, I think those would be pretty good matches, honestly.
Yeah, him versus Sekimoto would be a barn burner, in my opinion. It's one of those things. The problem with Goto is at this point, I think, in the New Japan canon, is the fact that we've seen him lose so many big matches that we just don't believe he can pull it off anymore. It's almost if he does win, it's just like, well, that's bullshit. He lost the 8 prior. Why would he just win this one in this
case? Yeah, I mean, if anything, he's going to get, like, the Nakanishi sympathy reign at this point, you know, if anything.
Yeah.
So, so while we're on this topic of other promotions.
And I'll let you handle this one, Jeff, because I've only seen this basically just the headline for it, the headline for it is pretty much all the knowledge I have, so I'll let you handle this one accordingly. Okay.
Well, you may have some thoughts about this too. So, I'm just basically going to read a statement that was that was posted at the Dramatic DDT blog, dated the 22nd of September. Basically, long story short, DDT got bought. So I'm going to read the statement. It was announced today that DDT Pro Wrestling has been acquired by Cyber Agent, the company behind the Abima. Actually, it's Amoeba. It says Abima TV, but the picture clearly says Amoeba on there. Online streaming service. DDT will continue to do business as a subsidiary of Cyber Agent, and there is no change to the company name or its organizational structure. Sanshiro Takagi will continue in his role as president of DDT. In addition, the director of Cyber Agent, Takahiro Yamauchi, will now become the director of DDT. The deal between DDT and Cyber Agent was made on September the 1st when DDT transferred 100% of its outstanding shares to Cyber Agent. The amount of money it costs has not been made public. Sanshiro Takagi commented on the deal by saying he wants to increase awareness of DDT, making it more appealing, and aim for further expansion of the business. Cyber Agent statement on their website mentions the pro wrestling boom in recent years as being a reason why they are adding DDT content to the Amoeba TV service. All of the DDT spinouts are included in the acquisition, so Basara, DNA, Tokyo Joshi Pro, and Ganbare Wrestling will also have their content appearing on Amoeba TV. The first live show on the service will be, that already happened. It was their most recent Korakuen Hall show. It will be free to all site members, and registration to the website will be free too. A special announcement about DDT's future will be revealed during the show. Takagi promises DDT will continue to provide more of the fun, intense, and dramatic stories that they are known for. That's it. That's it for the news portion of that statement. So essentially, DDT has now been bought by a company bigger than Bushiroad, is what this comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, does this mean DDT is suddenly going to be bigger than New Japan Pro Wrestling? Not on your life. It doesn't. No, I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm saying it doesn't automatically mean it's going to happen. Because, as we all know, New Japan, even in New Japan's history, they took second seat to All Japan at times.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's fair to say historically New Japan has been the biggest overall. Am I worried? No. Why? Because I'm one of, even though I am a shameless New Japan shill, and we're all friends of Takagi Kidani, I'm actually the guy that actually likes the biodiversity in Japanese wrestling. I don't think, for example, that New Japan should sign all of the wrestlers. I've said this before. I've said this plenty of times on the show before too. But the fact of the matter is, I think that I think one of the things that we need to consider is that one thing that has always come up about WWE past 2001 as to the decline of the product and all that is, they have not really had any true competition since WCW in the mid 90s. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd say that's feasible.
And so I think that maybe this may be a nice little wake up call to New Japan too, from whatever issues they're having. I don't think they're having many issues. I think some of the obviously, everybody could always do better with things, no matter who you are. But I mean, with the growth of All Japan, coming back from near extinction a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
Now they've come back. Big Japan, get to run a sumo hall show every year now. Dragon Gate, certainly, they rarely get talked about, but I mean, I think they're definitely probably the number two promotion in Japan behind New Japan right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I think, this could only really be good for New Japan, I think. And I mean, I'm not worried. I don't think DDT is going to overtake New Japan anytime soon. I mean, could it happen? Yeah, it could happen. I mean, and DDT is definitely its own product compared to New Japan, which is, again, can only be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I think that, if there is a boom right now, then I definitely think that, this could only help New Japan, with competition and, maybe, not entirely ride on their laurels, so much.
Yeah.
As maybe sometimes it's assumed that they do. And maybe, I've often thought that they just kind of coast sometimes. But, all that being said, yeah, I don't see this is a bad thing at all either. Now, again, we've also seen it before where big money guys come into a promotion and then completely trash it.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that happen with, with All Japan when, whoever it was that purchased it off of Keiji Muto, basically almost, drove it to extinction.
Yeah, it's always a question of how the buyers decide to invest within the company. And I think for DDT, the way that they've been running their stuff, and most, if they're smart with their investment, they're just probably investing maybe in better facilities, maybe some bigger arenas here and there for them to run. But otherwise, DDT's business model has been, wacky as it is, it's been drawing people in terms of.
Oh yeah, it is. They run Peter Pan at Ryogoku every year. I mean, they just had the Saitama Super Arena show,
mm-hmm.
for their 20th anniversary. I mean, Takagi's done a great work with DDT. There's no question about that. I mean,
yeah.
You cannot deny that.
No, absolutely not.
So, I mean, I mean, it remains to be seen how well this partnership will happen in practice. Because, I mean, we've also heard that before. Nothing will change, even though we've just got bought out. And then slowly but surely,
everything
changes. I mean, we've seen that there have been countless examples of that happen.
Yep, history.
I mean, we will see. But yeah, and otherwise, all I'm going to say is good luck to DDT, because I think DDT are great promotion. I do enjoy watching them, and you know, hopefully, I mean, if they can reinvest more into the product and it pays dividends, great. I think that can only be a good thing, you know, for DDT. Even possibly for New Japan and for Japanese pro wrestling in general. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, Chris, or.
Not quite.
No. Okay. All right. Fair enough. So, sheesh. I don't think I have anything else I wanted to talk about. Boy, I mean, it seemed like we had a longer, program in mind when we talked this out, but it seemed like we kind of got through it all.
Yeah, we definitely have done it at this point. We've covered pretty much most of the major points at this point. I guess, really, in terms of it, nothing else to really run through, so maybe plugs sound about right at this point.
All right, yeah, let's do the plugs. Chris, you go right ahead.
So, yeah, for me, you can find me over at Brazilian Fury. That's Brazil with an S on it. No pythons or anything like that. Really, that's about it. I mostly just use Twitter these days for my stuff.
And my name is Jeffrey Wessel, and you can find me at Strong Style Story without the E in style on Twitter. The blog is at strongstylestory.tumblr.com. You're listening to this through Place to Be Nation and the Pro Wrestling Only Board podcast feed, where there's quite a lot of great podcasts. So get on that. Get on that soundcloud.com/Pro Wrestling Only. Shout out to Alan and JT. If y'all are ever going to do another show, I guess Parv is back or something. With Letters from Center Stage, so we're anxiously awaiting episode 21 for that. A lot of other great shows. Shout out to Military Industrial Suplex, and shout out to there's the Worldcast, where they go through old world class championship wrestling from back in the days.
Nice. And I also realized too, I should have a quick plug that I can throw in on top of my own stuff as well, because just over the last, not this week, but last week, I ended up going into, I was actually a guest for Tornado Tag Radio for one of their episodes.
Oh, damn, really?
Yep. No John and Marianne from, from Bola last year around. Been keeping in touch with them pretty much ever since. Saw them over the course of G1 Special this year and Bola this year as well. I'm hanging out with Marianne at All-Star Weekend as well, probably. So for them, you can follow their stuff for Tornado Tag Radio. They are on Twitterland over at Tornado Tag Radio. You can find their episodes over at notlg.com / Tornado Tag Radio. Let's see. And then for them themselves, for John, he's a Twitter over at JP Price, THRICE. And you can find Marianne over at Sailor Moonsault, which is still one of the greatest Twitter handles I've seen in my life. So,
that's pretty good. So what were you on the show talking about?
Just basically, a lot of it was, 205 Live and NXT is kind of what I helped cover in this case, and then bits and pieces of Raw, since I usually tend to just catch the streams for it rather than watch it on USA whenever I do. So I've kind of started to get away from the whole supporting the Nielsen ratings for them as well, to be honest, mainly just because I'm kind of lazy and don't want to get out of my bedroom during the evening's portion of turn the TV and watch. So It is what it is. But no, we had a couple of nifty little discussions there. We talked a little bit of PWG as well, since that was the night where the lineup for All-Star Weekend got announced as well. So we kind of broke down those matches too. So,
oh, right on, right on.
Quite a couple of things.
We're going to say hi to Steve Cash, because, yeah, Steve, we love you. Come back to the show sometime, brother. I heard a rumor that Steve was maybe planning a podcast based on Hustle, which is his favorite promotion, allegedly. Actually, I think it's Dragon Gate, but it could be Hustle, knowing Steve. Because
I mean, look, good for Steve. If anything, we'd be happy to support him in any way, even though I don't really watch Hustle personally, so I'm willing to learn. Or didn't
watch, because it's been defunct for, like, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Years and years. But shout out to JB Rowe and his new clothing line, Hardway_Limited, on Twitter. So, JB, you can come back anytime. And shout out to Lawrence O'Brien. So he decided he needed to take a little respite from the graps. So that's fine. I mean, I can certainly understand that.
Mm-hmm. We'll be waiting for you guys. Absolutely, we'll hold down the fort until then.
Shout out to Dion and Bunches, who I won't be going to Alton with this time, but you know, things.
Burns.
Yep. They're going to Chicago. So yeah.
Fair.
So it goes. So. All right. And also, we're going to plug Strong Style History, because we're going to be recording that too. So stay tuned for that later this week. This time we're going to talk King of Pro Wrestling 2012. And then later in the month of October, we're going to be having Brett, a.k.a. Bahu FMW, on the show to talk Atsushi Onita in New Japan during the heady days of 1999. So stay tuned for all those. So, as for when we're going to be back, probably not till the 22nd, but I think there's a cycle of show starting before then. So, but we're probably not. Yeah, I won't be back. We won't be doing this until the 22nd again. So, so be ready for that. October 22nd is when we'll record episode 32, and it's probably when we're going to record the other Strong Style History too, honestly. So with that in mind, Chris, you got anything else?
No, I think that covers it for us.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for listening to episode 31 of the Strong Style Story Podcast. We'll see you in about 3 weeks. Everyone, enjoy King of Pro Wrestling. Enjoy the Global War shows if you're going to those. And we'll talk at you on around October the 22nd. So thanks a lot. Take care. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Whip and straps.
Roppongi Vice.
Roppongi.
Stays up real late, drinking in hotels like weirdos. And then we go eat McGriddles from Japanese McDonald's. Super early in the morning.
Roppongi.
Roppongi. Roppongi Vice. Kozlov.
Roppongi Lights.
This is in Roppongi memory of Vice. You, buddy.
Roppongi. Roppongi. Roppongi Lights. Roppongi Vice. Roppongi. Roppongi. Roppongi Lights. Roppongi Vice. Roppongi. Roppongi.
Moretta and Romero ain't nothing. I'm sweet.